Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Ladies of Sosa podcast. My name is Sara.
And my name is Christine.
And today we're going to be discussing a more, you know, heavy episode of the Ladies of Sosa today. We were made aware, or there is a hashtag going around called Justice for Baby Janet. And Janet is a young girl. She was 10 months old living in Egypt with her parents. She's originally from Sudan, and she was living in Egypt with her family. And recently she was abducted from her home, raped, murdered, left in a park in Egypt. And the story that was going around was pretty much they found their daughter on their own by searching for her on their own. And even after finding her and having to deal with the grief of losing their daughter in such a horrific manner, they were also afraid of retaliation by, you know, pressing charges or going to the officials in Egypt because, you know, they're refugees of war. And, you know, if you cause, you cause havoc or cause chaos with a story like this, there could be, you know, ramifications that happen to you. So that was the original story that I have heard. But the recent research I've done was that they have apprehended the perpetrator. He's a 22-year-old Egyptian boy, and he's in custody, and he admitted to the crime, and he's in jail right now awaiting trial. So that's pretty much the overall story of what happened to baby Janet, but it's horrific.
So she was kidnapped and unalived, and she showed signs of having being sexually assaulted. So we just want to bring awareness to this. And I'm actually disgusted. Like, from when I heard it, I was really, really deeply disturbed. And like you said, it's been trending online. So it's just really disgusting that the family is probably going to have to fight a lot harder to get justice just because of where they are. And because of, like, I guess the underlying, would racism be the word?
I think, or discrimination, yeah.
Or xenophobia probably would be a better word.
I think both.
Yeah.
All three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, we just want to bring awareness to it and, like, have our panel touch on it. And hopefully by talking about this and putting this out there and getting more eyes on it, we can kind of help the family be able to get justice.
And I think the bigger picture, too, as well, because Janet's story, unfortunately,
Is not uncommon.
It's a common story for Nubian people or the Sudanese people, South Sudanese people that migrate to Egypt because of displacement of war. And
there have been videos that have happened where there was a brother that was being beat and they had the sister and they did what they did with her. Same thing that they did to Janet. And they didn't unalive her, obviously. But we've had stories like this and similar stories happen in Egypt. And I think it's been one of the things that, like, to this day, I don't like to talk about the topic of it because it's like PTSD /thing. Because I lived in Egypt,
yeah.
And for as much good people, there's good people in Egypt, but at the same time, it's like you're gonna be a second class citizen as a South Sudanese person in Egypt, and that's something we all just know initially. That's why one of the things about when people ask me what was Egypt like, I'm just like, no comment. I'm not gonna comment on it and just even bring ideals to it, but that little girl did not deserve any of that.
Yeah. And I think that's the complicated part of discussing these type of topics, because I never want to come off like, oh, we don't like Egyptian people, or mm-hmm. we don't like a certain group of people. And it's never about that. And like you said, of course there's good people. There's going to be good people in these countries, but we also have to highlight the stuff that our people are going through. South Sudanese people do experience discrimination. Dark skinned people just experience discrimination in Egypt and other Arab countries. And it's like, it's tough to talk about because we're all from East Africa. So we're supposed to be a family, you know?
Well, I mean, we talk about the indentured servitude that goes on where people are getting their passports taken, especially black people. We talk about the people that are moving through North Africa that mm-hmm. aren't going to be able to be free because we know the truth of what it is. I mean, like,
yeah, I mean, I think especially if you're South Sudanese or just Sub-Saharan African, you probably see it more than the general public. We see what happened in Libya when all these black people were murdered for trying to go through across the border. You see videos of house workers getting tortured. Mm-hmm. I think we need to come to terms with the fact that some of these Middle Eastern countries are very, very racist. And yeah, of course, there's good people there, but I think even the good people there need to come into terms with the fact that the way they treat Black people is just unacceptable, and what happened to Janet is just an example of this kind of thing that where they really don't like they don't see us as human beings, yeah. You know, and.
It's like 1950s
we talk about discrimination and racism, but you know, US has come a long way when it's compared to some of these places where like we see Black people like there's Kenyan women being held, their passport being taken away, being held as slaves. They don't get paid.
Exactly.
They're not allowed to leave.
They have to earn the right to go back home.
And the videos that you usually see is shot by those Middle Easterns.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're torturing these kids. There was a video that was heartbreaking that I saw where it was a little kid, and I could tell he was South Sudanese. You could tell in his eyes he was scared to death. And this guy was just recording him, just taunting him.
I have a Middle question. Eastern. Because, you know, like it happened in Egypt and stuff. Who's going to fight, who's gonna protest, like who's gonna,
I was just thinking about this,
like for us it's like obviously they don't take it seriously. I feel like some of the things that they do is because they know there's not gonna be any real true blowback.
Do you guys feel like our South Sudanese government,
that's what I was gonna ask you next,
responsible
and I in some way?
I would say so.
Because when things like this happen, they have to step up and say this is unacceptable and there's gonna be repercussions, and like step up and fight on behalf of their people.
Yeah.
And it's just like there's no one to defend us as people. And that's very clear. And the reason why we're even over there in the first place is because our country is not stable enough to like for us to be there, or else we wouldn't be having to run to other countries for refuge and being made to feel like second class
citizen
or a subhuman. Like literally, it's not even about citizens.
The problem is like the government, the South Sudanese government doesn't even take care of the citizens.
They don't care.
Back home in the country itself. In South Sudan, our people are suffering.
So why would
imagine
they care about us?
When they're displaced and moved to Egypt or to like, you know, anywhere else where they may suffer discrimination, Khartoum, they're not going to be represented there if they're not represented back home in South Sudan.
If our government doesn't value the lives of the young women and children and people, or just women and children in general in Sudan, and these things, like we say this happened in Egypt, but stuff like that happens in Sudan, and it happens from the Arab raiders, and it happened because it's happened from where I was at in Abyei, and there's happened in areas like that. We've heard these stories before in our own country. And so I think the rest of the world sees that they don't value their own lives. Mm-hmm. Why should we value their lives over here?
And I think that I wonder, do African nations, do governments hold their own African countries accountable? Or are we kind of, is this normal? It's just kind of like, because I think whenever the things with Palestine happen, I was like, okay, but like, what about things like this genocide? We have that in Sudan, like things like this. I'm not saying it's to the same magnitude, but I feel like we've been normalized to think that it's normal for our countries to be like this. And it's ingrained a sort of anti-Blackness and a sense of helplessness. But whenever you see people saying fighting for the right of dignity and to live a different way, it empowers people to be like, okay, well, if this is happening in Palestine, something is like this is happening in Congo, something like this is happening in Sudan. And it encourages you to also want to care about those issues more than you did before. But I don't think that as African nations, we hold our leaders accountable enough. Oops. And because we're not empowered enough, even with the South Africa, the Israeli criminal court, against the Israel. That's great that South Africa wanted to hold them accountable. But when have we ever held our African countries accountable? I don't think like the Sudanese Hemedti and what's going on in Sudan is a whole issue for a whole different, you know, episode. But Hemedti, what he was doing, you know, through, you know, he was doing in Sudan, he was able to visit countries like Kenya and be welcomed in these spaces by African, other African leaders. I don't think you should be able to move if you are doing something, it's like the equivalent of a Hitler. If you're Hitler, you shouldn't be able to move around the world, you know, whenever you're doing heinous acts against your people. That's not okay. But I don't think we do that. I think we allow for it to happen. And it's why Janet, unfortunately, this happened
to her. She felt, I mean, the initial story was that she felt like the family felt they couldn't reach out to anybody because of retaliation and maybe being deported back to a war-torn country, Sudan, a country that, you know, has instability. There's like fear of violence, all of that stuff. So it's I love that we're talking about the solutions. Like, what can we do for our people? Because, yes, we're here in diaspora, but like there's something that our governments can do because they have power. They have access. They have resources that they're not utilizing to better our country and to better the you know, the livelihoods and the conditions that we live in for us to even for them to come home.
Yeah,
they just come home.
You yeah, don't have to live I, there. I think I don't know if the government needs to create like a team or something that South Sudan as a country, we are probably one of the countries with the biggest population in the diaspora outside of South Sudan. And our government is not just responsible for its people within. They're responsible for their people outside of the country. Because I'm sure every South Sudanese who's in South Sudan has some kind of relative or extended relative outside of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so the government has to care what happens. They have to put a statement out. They have to say something. You know, they have to reach out, have a way
That's
to reach out
saying.
To the diaspora
There's
to
nothing.
Say, like, to talk to these governments and let them know, like, how you're treating our citizens over there. It's unacceptable.
Yeah.
And we're not going to accept that. Yeah. You know?
And that's what I was asking. Like, who's going to protect? Like, who's going to advocate? Who's going to stand up? Like, we can bring awareness and all that, but we need the backing of our government.
I'm going to say something that might sound a little terrible. It might sound, but like, I think at a certain point, you have to be violent and you have to make statements for stuff like this, especially when it comes to a little baby. Mm-hmm. I remember I had a conversation with my pops. He said, whenever you have a situation like that, you find a person and you make sure that everybody gets to see that it is a result
jungle
of
justice.
Life. It is going to be jungle justice. I'm not going to lie to you. You have to, because if the Egyptian government is not going to help you with this, then end that person and make sure that he's. Like,
yeah. I mean, put somebody, write a statement signed by the president,
something.
Send it to every media organization, you know, and let them know like what's going on. I don't know if that will work. I don't know if these media organizations will take into consideration the story and the our president's statement about it, you know, but things like that will work, like a good critical statement of the country, not just what's happened to the baby, but in general what they've been doing to our
the
people,
the systemic oppression of Chinese people,
you know,
in Egypt,
like of abuse of our people, is unacceptable, you know, that. You know, that those type of things need to be put out there.
And we stand
so
with
everybody knows what's going on.
Yeah.
But you know, with the incompetence of our leaders and
it's
our
just
government
really sad.
And
disappointing
disregard for our people. It's, you know, when we get mistreated, this comes with being refugees, because you're not home, and when you're a refugee, you come into people's lands, you're a minority, you're begging to be there. They don't value you, and these are the consequences of having a civil war that's been going on for so long that us as South Sudanese people, we're away from home. We're not gonna have the dignity that maybe our ancestors.
It's like you chose to be here in a way. Like you had to be here. What choice
like,
do you
who
have?
Who are you? Yeah, like you know, you should just be grateful that you know that we let you exist.
Exactly,
being homeless in a foreign land gives you no opportunity to have rights.
Yeah.
Like it is, you are considered an animal at that point, because what else? It's only people viewing you as maybe a potential pet kid.
And then you're black too, and you're dark skinned. That's another layer of, you know, discrimination that you're going to face. And just to add more context.
Woo, this shit got me thinking about 1999. I'm not trying to go back there. Going back to when I was in Egypt and how it was, and being in the streets and like even trying to go shopping and like people yelling at you and saying certain things that, you know, I can't say on the podcast like that.
Can we get more into that?
I want to understand Like, why do we still go up there? I understand there's the process to come to America.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to these countries.
Yeah.
But the UN is paying these countries a certain amount of money to bring to accept refugees. So I just don't understand why South Sudanese keep going to Egypt.
It's the easiest way to come to the States.
I understand Uganda.
Are you talking about tourism? Like actually traveling
I'm talking about like refugees. Migrating to these countries, considering how they treat our people. I know Ethiopia, Uganda, Kenya, they have their own level of discrimination as well, but I don't think it's to that level where these type of things happen, where they enslave people. Like, for example, like my family, we went through Kenya, and but maybe I was just a kid, or I have my, when you look back on your childhood, you don't see the bad things, you mm-hmm. see all the great. But like my family had a wonderful experience going through Kenya. Yeah. I had Kenyan best friends. They would come to my house. I'd go to their house.
Because we're all black.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So we're all, that's,
we all yeah. see ourselves as black.
Yeah.
But like at no point did I ever go to a Kenyan person's house and had their mother like treat me like I wasn't a human being or had like, you know.
So this is where I get to my point of view. When I was living in Egypt, for example, we were in an apartment complex that was mostly South Sudanese. It was my aunt, my uncle, and my cousins. Some of them have passed away, but it was our community was there. But the people that rocked with us, like we knew they rocked with us because they would be sitting there fighting off certain people and they'd be sitting there with us. So like that's why I have like such a complex feeling for it, because I know the great Egyptian people that were there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like to the point of my mom used to like, one of the kids' mom said something, or one of the kids said something to me and my mom whooped him and brought him back to his mom and his mom whooped him and then they became friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
wow. Okay.
Damn.
Why am I
sorry?
Oh, my gosh.
That's
good.
It's okay, man.
So for me, Egypt is like one of those places that it's like, I don't want to think about, but I think about because like my uncle died over there, right?
Yeah.
And it was a hit and run. But, you know, nobody was caught from it, right?
Yeah. Damn,
I didn't expect this, okay?
It's okay. It's like, yes.
So I'm so used to Egypt being a place of like, good, but it's a lot of death, man. It's like a lot of death and a lot of situations where it's like somebody was just going in there for like a regular checkup and all of a sudden they're dead.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I was just talking to Sarah about that. About like how one of my family members had went for operation and like all my dad was telling me the story the other day, and it was just going to be like a normal procedure, and then they ended up telling them that he passed away. My dad was saying how much it pained him because he was such a bright young man, very smart young boy. And then my dad said that our family thinks that they were trying to harvest his organs, which is a big thing there. So there's so many layers within this. And like your emotion is so warranted because I feel like so many South Sudanese people, when they think of Egypt, they have a lot of painful memories about how they were treated while living there, which brings us back to the whole topic of like what's still going on for a baby to be murdered
and you can't even think about like, you know, your child, like justice for your child. You have to fear what's your next step?
What are going to be the repercussions if you make a fuss about this?
For the rest of the kids who are alive, you have to
and
their switch safety, your mentality. Their safety is in jeopardy because of their living there, you know? Yeah. So
and that's a bigger conversation too. If the black people in Egypt make a big fuss about this, maybe there can be inflicted violence on the mass.
You have to think about that. Yeah. Or your employment, you could be fired. Or there could be your livelihood could literally know.
Or it's
happen.
You know what? We're just not going to have Sudanese people come to Egypt anymore since y'all's causing so much problems. You know, like there's so many layers to this conversation.
And the sexual assault layer, that's just what have we come to as a human race, not even just a black people or white people or Arab or anything like that, where this is happening and the family is afraid to stand up to get justice.
Yeah.
We have a real problem here. Yeah. But I do want to ask our viewers to just comment, what can we do as a people? We need our government to step up and denounce this and say something, but we also need to rally around whenever stories like this come up to show, look, when something happens in the Asian community, the Asian community will stand up and make something happen if something happens to one of their women or children.
They have
when something happens in the
resources.
White community, white people are not going for it. Yeah. Every other group of people defends their women and children to where you know there's going to be a lot of smoke that comes behind this action. So where is our defense and representation? Like, where is
we
that?
We have been oppressed so much that we've lost our ability to feel like we have a right to speak about our woes. And that's one thing I've peeped about our community. We're good with the jokes. We're good with, like, being, you know, seen for the good. But when it comes to terrible situations, we tend to, like, shy away from that because we've always been seen as just the refugees who've just been out of luck and all that shit. But, like, at a certain point, you got to stand up for your fucking rights and be like,
yeah,
yo,
you
got to
demand your respect.
And I also think that our country needs to get their shit together so that people can just live at home. We don't have to be displaced, or we don't have to migrate to different countries within East Africa. We can just be at home, and then we don't even have to worry about, like, what's happening to someone else in
be
Egypt
black in peace.
Yeah, like, let's just, but that's our issue. It's like they can make a statement. Okay, we don't want our people to be treated like this in Egypt. Well, why are they here? Because you guys are, you're not taking care of your people.
And that's why the
baby
mercy
Janet,
of these people.
It doesn't matter per se, but just for context, was she, did they immigrate from South Sudan or Sudan?
I was going to bring that
up. Because that is a different angle to the situation, I feel like.
Yeah, so they immigrated from Sudan.
Okay.
But from my understanding, they're Nubian.
Okay, so Nuba Mountains. That,
this is her picture right here.
Okay. All
right. So the audience will be able to see that picture, right?
Yeah, definitely.
It's important to put this picture.
Now, mind you, the age of baby Janet was 10 months old.
Yeah.
10 months old.
Yeah. And I think that's a great, I'm glad you brought that up because I did want to bring it up. Like, they're not South Sudanese, technically, politically, they're Sudanese because they're from that border.
What side of the border?
Because a lot has been going on in Sudan for the past.
No, but we have to acknowledge the fact that the Nubian people, the people in Darfur,
They are us. They are.
We have always believed that they're us. They have always been a part of us. They have, like all my Nuba people and all the people that are from Darfur, like, every single person I know, they like, bro, we with y'all. Yeah. Like, because at the end of the day, the North Sudanese government did the exact same thing that they've been doing to us. And me being from a Bay, technically, I'm not even North or South Sudanese, dog. My area is just there.
Go ahead, Willie.
I would say that, you know, like, these political lines don't change the fact that we've been the same people for generations and generations. But I'll finish on this. Like, now that I think about it, at first when I heard about the topic, I think I had, my first instinct was to protect myself. So I was like, I don't want to read about this. This is just too horrible. Like, I don't want to, you know. But I realized, like, we do need to read these things. We do need to get involved. When you hear these type of horrible stories, even though they make you feel bad,
give your time, self.
It's okay to feel it and deal with it, because nobody else is going to fight for us. Mm-hmm. We need to fight for ourselves.
Absolutely.
And so,
no one's coming to save us.
And all we can do is do as much as we can do. And if that's just sharing a story on social media, if that's all you can do, do something. Yeah.
You know what else? I would love to hear some of y'all's stories or experiences, especially when it comes to other areas or things that you felt like you could never talk about, and just send it over to LOS and we can, like, have your story be heard. Because at a certain point, now we have the ability, we have the media to do it. So come on.
And
let's speak up.
And just to close out the show, I think it is important to bring up, since the family is from Sudan and not South Sudan, there are some people who still face the same amount of discrimination and just othering that we has once felt as South Sudanese people, and why we're a separate country now. But Sudanese people do, some, there's people in Sudan who still experience that to this day. And I think that it is important for us to unite in certain instances like this. And that's why, even if though they are technically Sudanese and we're not the same country, I felt like this relates to me as a South Sudanese person, and I'm sure you guys all feel the same way.
My mother, my grandmother, and my mom's half of the family is all in North Sudan.
Yeah. Like,
they're all there.
Your family too, Christine.
Yeah. So it's right in my heart. Same thing.
Yeah.
There's no difference.
I think it gives credence to the argument that we're all one people. You know how some people,
we can't.
People get mad over like, why y'all keep saying Sudan? It's South Sudan. I still say South Sudan for my own reasons. We'll talk about it another day. But I think it gives credence to this argument of like, Sudan is Sudan.
My heart is still Sudan. Yeah. Like, we're all still one people.
We're still Sudanese.
Yeah.
Yes. We're still Sudanese.
I'm South Sudanese, but I stand with the people of Sudan who are marginalized always, every single day. You guys are my people all day. And I also want to say, you know, this conversation is a little bit heavy, but we do want to hear your experience. If you lived in Egypt, if you're still living in Egypt as a Sudanese, South Sudanese,
Thank you guys so much.
I also do want to say as well, from my reading, the Egyptian government did step in and apprehend the person. So I don't want to, relay the information as if like nothing has been done. There has been an arrest made, and I'm grateful that the Egyptian government did apprehend somebody, and hopefully justice is served in this case, because we're gonna be here.
Yeah,
okay. We're gonna talk about it.
It.
We're gonna talk about it. But thank you guys so much for
thank you guys.
This
sorry,
episode.
That's so depressing for me.
I know. I'm just sorry. It's sad. But you know, this is just one of the things that we this is our platform. It's a platform where this is what we're meant to do.
Yeah.
If we're gonna talk about anything, we gotta stand up for our people.
Yeah. And it's needed. When I Google the situation, there's not much articles, even like any legitimate. I'm not saying illegitimate, but there's not the main sources aren't talking about this.
I had to go to Twitter.
That's why it's so
it.
Important for this to talk about issues, because even within countries in Africa, like, there's a lot of suppression of what you can say. So because we are in America, we're able to have free speech for now, at least. I think it's important to talk about the issues.
And that's what having a platform is for. We have to use it to bring more awareness to it, because this is disgusting. So
Shout out to our North Sudanese people. Hey, pull up. If y'all want to talk in the podcast, we can have that discussion.
Tariq was supposed to bring somebody from the northern region of Sudan. I got because people been asking.
I got some young homies. They young. So he was in the Kenyan refugee camps. And he'll even talk about some of the light skin oppression he felt from us. That's who he was trying to talk about.
Oh, reverse. Well, thank you guys so much. Please be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and we'll catch you guys in the next episode.
Thank you guys. Love y'all.